Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 423, The Value of Discipleship. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, June 1st, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, I want to share with you that this is exciting news. I have a new friend, a new disciple maker, really. She's consistent. She's reliable. She's faithful. She's always there. She's always available. Alexa, set a timer for 3 minutes. Alexa, sing me a Christian lullaby. Praise God. Every day, she faithfully tells me the weather. She knows the Bible better than anyone. She can recite scripture. I mean, she's just amazing. And I thought, who better than to help me in my walk with Jesus than to have this AI, artificial intelligence, be my disciple maker, right? Right? Amen?
Right.
No. Okay. One person said right. Okay. Well, you're not supposed to agree with me there. Although, okay, this AI could be, you know, reliable, available. You can call on her at, you know, all hours of the night and things like this. You could see that there would be some problems, right? There would be some problems in having an artificial intelligence, not even a person, just a robot, be one who is guiding you in your spiritual walk with Jesus. There would be some problems in this, right? I hope you see that there would be. We're going to talk about a few of them, and in the same, we're saying what the value of having a real life person, a disciple maker, what the value of discipleship really is. Because, you know, Jesus died to give us abundant life, right? And so when we're on the path of following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and being on mission with Jesus, there's life involved in that. Right? My life pouring into another person's life is what discipleship should look like. It shouldn't be artificial intelligence. Yeah, there's other ones than the A name. I'm trying not to set off the, get us shut down by saying her name so much. But, you know, there's other names for the artificial intelligence robots. And, you know, I use it sometimes to say, oh, where's the scripture that says in it, you know, they help me out. But that's not to replace connection. That's not to replace a real life, face-to-face, somebody that I'm accountable to, somebody that's helping me and guiding me. And so let's talk about some of the values of discipleship. This is continuing our series in the series that is Jesus-style disciple-making. How did Jesus do it? He didn't have AI back then. Praise the Lord. It was through association with his disciples. It was through being together with his disciples and doing life on life with his disciples, right? So we need, in disciple making, we need wisdom, not just information. Like AI, my phone, I can, you know, they have knowledge. She has knowledge, right? She has information, but we need help applying wisdom to our lives. Applying, to be able to apply the word of God is something totally different than just spitting out information, right? We need a guide in the flesh who can share wisdom and pour into us with their life experiences. So there's a scripture. Let's look at Titus 2, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this in a letter to Titus, who was a pastor, and he was giving wisdom, Paul was giving wisdom to Titus. So this is Titus 2, we're going to read 1 through 5. I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. So Apostle Paul says, "As for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. So this is Apostle Paul giving wisdom to Pastor Titus about teaching in a sound way, teaching sound doctrine to the people in his congregation, right? To the older men, to the older women, so that then they would in turn teach and train the younger men and the younger women. This is good, right? That they are the ones that have walked a while in life, being married, serving God, walking with God, reading the Word of God, that they would take from the wisdom of their lives and pour that into others, what they've learned from the Word of God. And this is multi-generational discipleship, the way the Lord set it up. And I think it's awesome. So men to disciple men and women to disciple women, under the context of sound teaching, right? That Pastor Titus was responsible for getting that out to the people. Oh, goodness, wouldn't you agree with me today that church, like not just the building and the four walls, but church, us as a body of believers, that we need spiritual parents. We need spiritual fathers and mothers to help us. Amen. I mean, gosh, I mean, I've received so much in my walk with Jesus now, so over 20 years, with people pouring into me. And I wouldn't be who I am today without the wisdom and their heart. I mean, opening up their hearts to share with me, most of them women, pouring into me about what it means to walk with God, what it means to be, to follow him, to follow his word, how to apply that in my life. And that's so much more than somebody just spitting out answers to me, spitting out information, right? It's that wisdom being applied. And we need that from spiritual mothers and fathers that are more mature in faith, that have walked a little longer with us. It's not to rank people. It's just that, you know, the fact is that somebody's been walking with Jesus a little bit longer, then they can share some things on their path. They can encourage me. They can pray with me. And I need that. We all need that. Amen. Because we do have blind spots. There's things that I don't see about my walk, or just the way I think, or the way I carry myself, or whatever, my beliefs that's shaped around my belief systems that I don't see about myself. And having a spiritual covering is really important. Having a spiritual parent that is sort of over me to help me to point out some things like, hey, you're about to hit a wall. You know, that's gonna harm you. That's gonna be hurtful to you. Or, hey, this will help you. Then that is such a key, I would say, a key value of receiving discipleship. Psalm 78 says it this way, through verses 1 through 7. Let's look at this. It says, "O my people, listen to my instruction." Don't we need to listen to the instruction of God? "Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from your past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. I thought that was awesome. That was awesome because the generation ahead of me has seen some things, experienced some things, walked some things on the path with Jesus, and they can pour into me, the next generation, who's going to pour into the next generation. And before you know it, we have multi-generational discipleship happening, spiritual parenting that is happening, so that, like it says here, that the generations might not forget what God has done in the past, that those stories of God's faithfulness coming through in people's lives would be transferred and carried over so that they can keep going, that ripple effect. And it's, you know, it says, and teach their own children. It's not necessarily, don't think of it just so narrowly in the way of physical, biological children, but spiritual children, raising up spiritual children that are going to also, you know, that are going to imitate you as you imitate Jesus, as you follow after Jesus, which is another scripture, what the Bible says. You know, it's so important when we are pouring into like the next spiritual generation, pouring into people that will come after us, that there's something that happens that they gain your heart. You know, if you are walking with somebody, you're sharing life with them, they're going to get your spiritual DNA. I mean, I would say that I most definitely have spiritual DNA from Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen, who are traveling in Israel. And you can even hear it. I don't know if you guys recognize, but I hear sometimes when I pray the way that Pastor Karen prays, you know, there's certain phrases that I've picked up from her over how many years I've known her and Pastor Harley, or maybe other, you know, other things about the way that I do things that I've learned from them that is. And more than just certain things the way I do it, it's catching, it's like I've caught the heart. That's spiritual DNA, to catch the heart of serving the Lord and what that looks like. And, you know, the value of the word, for example, and I could name many things. But those are things that happen when you're pouring into somebody and you walk with them for some time. They get the spiritual DNA. And, you know, like Pastor Harley always says, you can fellowship with everyone, and we should, and that's good. We're all part of the body of Christ, right? Fellowship with everyone. You can partner and connect and do things with some, but you can only build, like really build in the kingdom of God with sons and daughters. Because those are the ones that know your heart. They have your spiritual DNA. And they're going to, without even trying, they're going to just do the same thing that you do and have the same heart behind it. Because it's just ingrained in them. All right, so let's talk about another valuable benefit of discipleship. That first one was wisdom, not just information. Presence. We need presence in disciple making, in discipleship, not just answers. Because AI can give me answers. It can give me a quick answer. But I need somebody who is present in my life. Because AI doesn't see and won't talk to me when, you know, I've missed maybe cell group for 3 weeks in a row, or I leave the service and I've cried the whole entire service or something. Like, AI doesn't know those things. I need a body. I need a heart that's beating, that presence in my life, somebody that I can also be accountable to, right? That's important. Because we talked about, you know, weak areas, or we talked about blind spots that I don't see. So that presence is so vital. You know, AI won't see when I have, you know, I'm going through a difficult time. Maybe I've lost, you know, there's been a sudden death in my family of a loved one or somebody close to me, or any other difficult experience that I'm walking through. A robot isn't going to know those things and be able to, like, be a warm-hearted, loving presence who's tapped into the heart of God, who has the Holy Spirit and knows, you know, how to connect to God in ministering to me, right? And simply just being with that person. It's priceless to have a person that is present and with you in your life to pray with you, to encourage you, somebody that you can reach out to. Jesus modeled this for us. He was such a very present disciple maker. And when you read through the Gospels, you can see that Jesus made it a practice of sharing his life with the disciples. You know, there were no fancy programs or training classes for them, but just everyday life. Like you see them in the Gospels, fishing together, eating together, traveling together, sometimes praying together, ministering together. He just included them in his life, and that's how they learned. Not by Jesus doing a whole PowerPoint presentation and explanation of things, but just, hey, come and follow me. Hey, come and do it with me. Hey, come and watch me. Okay, now it's your turn. So that's all part of presence. All of what I was talking about, spiritual DNA is caught. I mean, some things are caught, not taught. Happens when there's life on life, when you're walking with somebody, when you're pouring into them, spending time together. Okay, another value of discipleship is heart-filled. This goes along with the last one, it's connected. We need heart-filled pursuit, not just availability. Because AI, a robot, can be available at all hours of the night to answer your questions or give you information, but they won't notice the things in my life that I'm going through, right? Like I described before. They won't see and respond to me when I'm going through a difficult moment or when I've gotten, maybe received, God forbid, a, you know, unwanted diagnosis or something. How do I apply faith and wisdom in that situation, or when I'm having a struggle in my marriage, or XYZ, whatever problem. When we are walking with somebody, spending time with somebody, we can see a need. I know I have sisters that know me so well. It's like they look at my face, they can look in my eyes and say, what's going on? Like, something's not right. I might be able to hide it from some or whatever, but there's people that just, you know, you have those people that know you, that know when you're off, like, know, hey, how can I pray for you? Or don't even need to say anything, but they are covering you in prayer. And that is awesome. We already talked about accountability. And accountability is good because it's like you know that somebody's going to ask you, how is that going, that difficulty that you shared with me? You know, they're going to hold you accountable to that. Are you doing that, what you said, that goal that you said to, you know, wake up earlier and pray in the spirit, or, you know, pray, spend time with the Lord? How is that going? They're going to hold you accountable to really your own goals and your own things that you that you want to do. I say that, you know, when I look back at my, you know, years of being in school, I say that the teachers that were sort of the hardest were the best ones because they held an expectation for me that was high. I remember my Spanish teacher of all classes, right? I loved Spanish in high school. I never imagined that I'd be a missionary to South America, but God knew that, right? And so he gave me a passion for cultures and for the Spanish language, and, you know, and so that teacher through high school, and I took like advanced classes and stuff, she was hard, but you know what? She gave me a kick in the pants, and she, like, it was like she held us to us, to me, really, because I was open to receiving that, to a standard, and it pushed me because it was like she believed in me, right? And so I say the whether you're applying this, like we're talking about spiritual parents here, like disciple makers, if you see the potential, you can tap into and see the potential of God in somebody's life, then you're going to hold them to a standard of life. I mean, I'm not talking about cracking the whip. Well, maybe sometimes we need a whip cracked, and every personality is totally different. But I know I sometimes need a good swift kick in the pants to get me going, right? Or just knowing that somebody's going to ask me is like, okay, well, I better do that. You know, this is my own goal. This is something that I said I wanted to do. So I'm going to do it. And because I know somebody else is going to ask me. Praise the Lord. And not just anybody, but my spiritual parent who loves me and sees the potential in me and knows that I have it in, that I have Jesus in me to help me get to where he's calling me to be. Amen. All right. Jesus modeled this heart and this love and service, really, to his disciples. We see this many times in the Gospels, but I think a story that we read in John 13 really exemplifies this is when he washed the disciples' feet. Because he loved them so much, and he knew, you know, that his time was coming to an end and that they were it. Like, there was no plan B, that, like, come on, boys, you got to have this together. And so he served them. He loved them. He did that act of washing their feet, which in that day, you know, they wore sandals. There were not well-constructed concrete roads and stuff. They were sandy, dirty paths, and so their feet were dirty. And he did that act of love, that service to them. And so let's just take a look at that and what he said about that in John 13, starting with verse 12. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" I love Jesus's questions. He asked so many good questions. "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Okay, so Jesus modeled this for them, this act of love and service. He spent, you know, years, 3 years pouring into the disciples so that they could reproduce themselves in others. And he said to them, he charged them with doing the same. He said, "I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Show others love and serve them. Pour into their lives. Become their spiritual parent that they need." Because there are so many spiritual orphans out there. And we can see this today, right? Even people inside the church. We are sometimes, well, I don't want to say that, but spiritual orphans are people that are just out there trying to do it alone, just trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus and what does the book of Revelation mean and how do I apply Leviticus to my life and all these questions that somebody would have when they begin to follow Jesus, or maybe they followed Jesus a long time, but they never had anybody pour into them. They've never had anyone get down and wash and serve them and clean their dusty, dirty feet, so to speak, right? And Jesus did that for them. And it's important to cast a vision for the people that we are pouring into, for our spiritual children, for our spiritual sons and daughters, disciples that Jesus has given us. Cast a vision for them so that they can see themselves also making disciples. You know, we talk about, and we've talked the last several weeks about the discipleship pathway, the doobie-doobie-doo. Traveling down the path, following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, and being on mission with Jesus. We talk about that pathway, but it's important that you can, as a spiritual parent, paint that picture. What does it look like for them to be on the pathway and moving down, maturing and growing? And what will it look like when they're ready and they're released to serve God in a greater way, right? Are they going to have a cell group? What is God saying to them, to you as the spiritual parent? And how can you cast that vision, paint a picture for them? How do you want to pour into other people? How do you want to lead? God is an amazing artist and he'll paint pictures for us and we just get to open the door and walk into it, right? But I think that's really helpful to just to point people back to the discipleship pathway and here at my Father's house, us building together. We're building spiritual sons and daughters. So cast a vision for so they can see themselves. Oh my gosh, I can have a cell group? Like, I can do this? I can, I don't know, do something else? I'm trying to think of an example. But give them a direction to start going in. Or maybe they will share what God has been speaking to them about what God's saying. How can they build here together, at my Father's house? How can we raise up more leaders, more spiritual parents that are going to pour into others and then raise them up and then pour into others? That's what we're going for here, because we're about doing the work that Jesus said to do. Go and make disciples. Amen? Amen. I think it's so that's an important little, practical thing, a casting vision for our spiritual children, and also modeling disciple making, discipleship in action, bringing people along to opportunities to pour into people, to pray, to share in their neighborhood, to canvass the neighborhood, invite them to the tent meeting. Bring people along to opportunities just like Jesus did and say, okay, I'll do it. I'll model how to approach somebody on the street and pray for them. Okay, now it's your turn, or we'll do it together. And so the more that it can be like Jesus did it, where it wasn't a fancy training program and an educational class that you go through, but just let's go do life together and let's go do disciple-making life, pouring in the life of Jesus into other people. The more that you can bring people, your spiritual children, with you as you do things, then the more valuable it is. Because if you've been out on the street and you've had an experience of praying for somebody or sharing with Jesus, you learn something every time. Every time you go away and you're like, oh, well, I could have done that differently when they said no to me, or I should have maybe spent a little more time like breaking the ice or building relationship, because when I walked up to them, they had no idea what I was doing. They got a little freaked out. And so they just said no right away because I just jumped in and said, hey, can I pray for you? So you learn things every time and on and on and on, because each encounter is totally different because people are totally different. And so let's be like Jesus. Bring people, our spiritual children, along. Cast the vision for them so they can see themselves. What God has been speaking to them about what they will be doing as they're growing and maturing, and this of give people practice, you know, practice. It's like practicum experience, right? Like internship. Praise the Lord to practice and do things, to come along with you. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to take a sip here. Something else that I want to talk about making disciples is that this is for everyone. Because maybe you're sitting there going, well, I'm not a spiritual mother. I don't quite have what it takes or to be a spiritual father. We are all in the army now. Newsflash. We're all in the army, right? He said, not just some, not just the pastors or the professional minister people, the professional church people, whoever they are, but it's for all of us. We've all been called. If you are born again and you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're not exempt from making disciples. It might look a little different for each person because of how he's wired us, because of the giftings and the anointings that he's placed in our lives. But in some way, shape, or form, we should all be doing this. And so discipleship.org, which is one of the resources that we use, talks about the priesthood of all believers. That means you're a priest, you're a priest, you're a priest. We all are called to, well, let's look at that scripture. Am I jumping ahead? The scripture that says that we are a royal priesthood. I'm jumping ahead, aren't I? I am a little bit. Let's look at that, and then we'll go back to some of the points. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And I think when we started this whole series of Jesus-style disciple-making, remember the day I forgot my crown and my amazing son made a crown and brought it up to me? We started with this verse, and we're sort of, well, at least today, I don't know if this is the end of the series or not, with this verse that 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Let's look at this. So right before it starts with but, which is a conjunction, right? It's connecting another idea. So he's talking about somebody stumbling due to disobeying God's word. But he says, but you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. All of you, he's talking to all of us disciples. You are the royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. That's for all of us. That's for every born again believer. We are royalty. We are a holy nation. We're set apart, and we are all called to make disciples, to do this. You know, it's kind of like you see, like, go to a basketball game and there's, 10 players on the court, 5 on each team, 10 players on the court, and there might be a whole thousand people, multiple thousands of people in the stands watching. And those people are tired out, the 10 people, and the people and need some refreshment and energy, right? And the people up in the stands have that. But it's like only the select few of 10 people are doing the action. It's kind of an illustration that it's not just the select few. It's not just the fivefold ministry or the leadership of the church that is called. It's everyone, everybody, all hands on deck, everybody down to the court. We're all going to play together. We're all going to do this of building generations of spiritual parents. Amen. To build the kingdom of God. And we have been entrusted to do that here at my Father's house, to get on the pathway with us here at my Father's house. We're not responsible for everybody out there. We're responsible for who God gives us here, right? And so we can all do this. Ephesians 4 talks about that the fivefold ministry leaders are called to equip God's people. That's the pastors, teachers, apostles, evangelists, prophets, I didn't say that in the right order, are called to do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ, that's all of us, can be built up, right, for the maturity of the body of Christ. And so that's their role to the fivefold ministry role or leadership of the church is to equip the rest of us so that we can all do it, so that we can all exercise and walk in that royalty that we are. That's my crown. And the royalty and the priesthood of being priests, of ministering to people. That's for everyone. That's for all of us. And so hop on the bus, Gus. Let's do it together. Let's do it. What's the Jack one? Don't look back, Jack. Let's go. Get a plan, Stan. We have a plan, Stan. How about that? You don't have to get a plan. We have a plan. God has given that to the leadership of the church. And so let's just hop on the bus, Gus. That's the best way I could say it. Praise the Lord. And really accomplishing this task, what I'm talking about, of making disciples and making generations of disciples, it requires us to be laser focused. Have you ever seen a laser? It's right? It's narrow. It's focused. Disciple making is the main thing that we need to be laser focused on. It's the main mission that God gave us from the Great Commission, right? The Matthew 28 commission of Great Commission of going to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've taught you. And I heard an illustration about this that I thought was awesome. This guy on discipleship.org was talking about, he's a minister, he's a leader there at discipleship.org, and that has great resources, by the way, discipleship.org, check it out. He was talking about how he had played this video game with his children, and the goal of the game was to build up your character so that your character could climb a mountain and kill a dragon. Okay, simple enough, right? And you had these side quests, like side challenges, that your character could do, and in doing those, some of those, it would build up like the armor or build up the character or whatever supplies and things that the character would need to climb a mountain so they can slay the dragon. And he said you could get really, I mean, you could play the game for years and years and years, and all you could do, you could just do side quests and forget that you're supposed to climb the mountain and slay the dragon. But then you would get lost in all these side quests, and maybe even you would have the gear and the equipment, but you forget that, oh, I'm supposed to be climbing the mountain and killing the dragon. And so you're like, what does this have to do with making disciples? The end goal for us is to make disciples. It's to climb the mountain and kill the dragon, which is the devil, right? By multiplying Jesus into people. And so, there's in the Christian life, there's so many side quests, right? That we could get distracted going here and going there and doing this. And I'm serving over here in children's ministry and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And forget that my main goal to win the game is to climb the mountain and kill the dragon. And I could get very distracted doing all these other things, which are good. But we should have the mindset that doing those other side quests helps me and equips me. I should do those side quests as they help me and equip me to climb the mountain, kill the dragon. Like, I need to stay laser focused that's my end goal and not get off in the weeds doing all these other cool side quests, right? As fun as they are. Like, what's our main thing? What's our main goal? To make disciples. And we can do that here together. Doobie-doobie-doo. We're all walking down the path doing it together. I hope I'm making this fun and making this exciting for you. But it is fun and exciting as we walk with Jesus and we do it together, and we see that the spiritual orphans out there, people in churches and just out there in life that don't have a spiritual parent, let's let like the spiritual orphans of Fort Wayne, like that number of spiritual orphans decrease, because God sends us to someone and we say, come get on the path. I'm going to pour my heart and my life into you. And of course, part of it is that they have to be willing and want that, right? And have teachability and humility, and they have to want to follow Jesus. It is very difficult, can I get an amen, to make a disciple out of somebody that doesn't want to be a disciple, because you're going to be hurting a cat. You're going to be hurting cats. You're going to be dragging someone, and that's not fun for anybody, the one being dragged. Have you ever been the one being dragged? I mean, that's not fun either, or the one dragging, right? And I mean, hurting cats is quite difficult, guys. It's a two-way street of somebody saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus, and you saying, I'm following Jesus, come follow me. Hey, like it happened for me, God just kind of attracted my heart to someone, to a spiritual daughter, and it was just like, I just knew that I needed to pour into this person's life, because God just put them in my path, and I just had such a compassion for this woman. And I mean, to see her now, praise the Lord. All right, so the conclusion, well, let me just say this. Many side quests, we have to stay focused, laser focused on the main goal, and be intentional. And sometimes that involves pruning. Who likes pruning? Clip, clip, clip. Sometimes it means that we have to realize, okay, God, I want to stay on your path of making disciples. So I might have to say no to something else in order to stay focused on what I'm supposed to be doing, right? Or it could be pruning of the heart matter more than like time. But we're all busy. And so we have to keep, you know, our schedules open to be able to do the main thing. Okay, now the conclusion. So we talked about some of the valuable benefits of discipleship, much better than any AI robot, right? Wisdom, not just information. Like generations of spiritual mothers and fathers that are pouring into younger believers, younger spiritual children. Presence, not just answers. A loving person sharing their life with you so that you can grow and mature in following Jesus. And heartfelt pursuit, not just availability. Like loving and serving like Jesus did, of washing the disciples' feet and bringing a sense of accountability so that somebody can mature and grow. And this idea that we're all called, that we're all in this priesthood of believers. So let's be laser focused to do the main thing, to keep disciple making the main thing. We can climb the mountain and we can slay the dragon and we can stay on track, doobie doobie doo, following Jesus and being changed and transformed by Jesus and being on mission with Jesus. And it's awesome as we do, because we will produce fruit. Amen. And fruit that remains. So I close with this verse and then we're going to have communion. John 15 says it this way. Jesus said this, John 15, 16 and 17. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Because if we're not doing disciple making with love, then we might as well just pack it up and go home. We've got to do it with love. That's Jesus style disciple making. But we will produce fruit, lasting fruit, and fruit that remains. And that's exciting to me. Lasting fruit means people fruit, people that we've won for Jesus, or that we are discipling, spiritually parenting for Jesus. Not converts, not consumers in the church, but real, passionate followers of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, grounded in the Word of God, like we talked about last week, laser focused and intentionally multiplying across generations. That is it, guys. That gets me excited. That is the vision. That is Jesus's plan, and we can do it. Amen? We can do it. Hallelujah. So let's just pray. Thank you, Father. I thank you for your word today. Your word is life. It's truth. It's healing to all our flesh. I thank you for just speaking your word to us today and watering those seeds of your word. Let it transform us, God. Let us get on the path and stay on the path and be firm and steady in following you, in being changed and transformed by you, and being on mission with you. Oh God, help us as we endeavor to make disciples. We want to produce fruit and fruit that remains. Help us, God. Give us revelation that we are all called to this, that together in unity, we can be priests of you that minister to your people, and that we can reproduce ourselves in others. God, help us to be those spiritual parents. Help us to grow up if we're in the stage of, you know, growing and being matured. Help us to open our hearts to you and to what you want to teach us through our spiritual parents, through our cell group leaders, through our one-on-one disciple maker, Father God, so that we can grow, we can gain revelation and grow and mature, and that one day we will also be those spiritual mothers and fathers to other people. Thank you, God, for trusting us with it. Thank you for believing in us that we can do it. You give us wisdom along the path. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. You're awesome, and you're helping us. You're equipping us. You're empowering us. And we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Help us, God, that we can climb the mountain and slay the dragon, which means making disciples. We want to do what you told us to do, which is make disciples. And you help us. You are with us to the end of the age as we do it. Thank you, God. We bless you. There's no one like you. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.